What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Pick up your book bags. Grab your notebooks. It's time to go on campus with Denton.
Give me my theme music.
Denton previewing the college football weekend. Week three, not as exciting really on paper going in as week two was. And week two ended up being much more exciting, Denton, because of the, you know, stunner in South Bend. But take us through the day. And you may want to start with a team tonight that I know you enjoy watching and I kind of like a little bit too, in terms of the matchup tonight.
Yeah, tonight might have the best game of the weekend, at least on paper. You got Arizona on the road against Kansas State. Now a Big 12 matchup, now that Arizona has joined the Big 12 Conference. They're a team with their quarterback, Noah Fifita. They were a big surprise last year, Kevin, as you know, when they have the ability to score a lot of offense. Their first game of the season was an absolute track meet against New Mexico in week one. It slowed down a little bit last week against Northern Arizona, but they could be a really fun team to watch. And then they're taking on Kansas State, who they have aspirations, legitimate aspirations, of being not just a playoff team, but the potential Big 12 champ, right? I mean, you're looking at teams like Utah, Kansas State, Oklahoma State. Those were the three favorites to win the Big 12. This is a game with a lot of meaning. We don't often see games with a lot of conference championship or conference impacts this early into September, but this is one of those games. So this one could be exciting. Right now, Kansas is a 7-point favorite. I'm seeing it at with the over under the total number at 60.5. This could be an absolute, really a headbanger between two teams that are really good. Kansas State just narrowly escaped Tulane last week. That one was almost another big upset. Because you got to remember, like, there was three upsets last week. You had obviously the Northern Illinois-Notre Dame game that everybody was over the moon about. You had Syracuse and Kyle McCord, who looks really good this year, taking down Georgia Tech. And it was almost Kansas State losing to Tulane last year that joined that. So they're looking for a bounce-back game. This one is one that I'm really looking forward to tonight.
So I just want to start with this. I think Kansas State's been one of those really interesting, actually just college programs in general, basketball and football, much more so football-wise. And I say that because they've really been a solid program, a winning program for a long time. They had Bill Snyder there, who was one of the best college football coaches for a long period of time. You know, he was there for, you know, 90s, 2000s, then left, came back for another stint, you know, was a coach of the year multiple times, had that team always competitive. And Chris Klieman's done a really good job, too. It's always been like one of those programs that, for me, because I'm a Maryland guy, I've always looked at a program like K-State and I've said, when Maryland was good with like Ralph Regan, Bobby Ross, they were kind of K-State. You know, they weren't Clemson, they weren't Florida State in their own league, but they were always good and they were better than most everybody else. And they were always involved in some games where they were close to getting over the hump, right? This team is another really good football team. They lost Will Howard, the quarterback that they had last year. He transferred to Ohio State. I like Will Howard at Ohio State so far, Denton. We can get to that later. Avery Johnson's their quarterback. They've got DJ Giddens. You know, they've had some of these really good offensive players, good offensive scheme. They came back on the road last week in a tough environment, actually, in New Orleans against Tulane to win a game. I like them tonight in this game. I'll let you know shortly whether or not it's going to be a smell test pick. But there's always been this intrigue about K-State. You know, they play in Manhattan, Manhattan, Kansas, the Little Apple. Their fan base is phenomenal. You know, it's an underrated fan base for both football and basketball. They're the second biggest deal in their own state to everything that Kansas does. I don't know. You're a college football guy. What do you, when somebody says K-State football, what do you think?
The last couple of years, I think of a team that's right on the cusp.
Right.
Of jumping
They've
into,
always been on the cusp.
Jumping into that conversation of real relevance in the sport. They're one of the teams like a Penn State and like an Ole Miss, although at a smaller scale because Penn State's obviously been, at least in this area, one of the bigger juggernauts for years, going back to the Paterno days. Then Ole Miss is out of history being in the SEC. But Kansas State's in that conversation, too, of teams that really benefit from the expanded college football playoff, because they've been knocking on the door a couple of times, and they've just never been able to punch it through because you only get four teams. Well, now that there's an expanded playoff, like, there's a spot for them should they, you know, play the entire season as well as they have in some of the past couple of years. I love their offense.
But I'm referring more to the brand. Like, Penn State's a massive elite blue blood brand.
Right.
Ole Miss actually is a brand. K-State is, it's always been a very much under the radar program for sports fans, even college football fans, and yet they keep producing in a state, by the way, where it's not easy to recruit to. You know, just like Nebraska's had issues with recruiting, K-State's had issues, you know, somehow they've been able to get players. They've always found coaches that were able to coach up lesser talent against some of the big boys. I like them tonight. I'm looking forward to that game. I'm with you. It's one of the, it may be the best head-to-head matchup of the weekend. All right, what else you got?
So the big game on Saturday, at least the big window game, is Alabama going on the road to Wisconsin. Now, when this was scheduled, you know, years and years ago, the expectation was that Wisconsin was going to be a highly ranked team out of the Big Ten. They're not that, but they're still a good team in the Big Ten. They're 2-0. Alabama's the fourth-ranked team in the country. It'll be game number three for the Jalen Milroe and Kalen DeBoer tag team, if you will. Alabama's getting they're a big favorite on the road against Wisconsin. I was actually surprised, Kevin, that this is not where College Game Day is going to be. I do think that Big Fox's kickoff show is going to be there. I don't know if there's like a legality thing, because Game Day was at, you know, the Michigan-Texas game last week, which was a Big Fox game. I don't know if they don't like going to Fox games multiple weeks in a row or something along those lines, but it's not going to be game day.
They're at South Carolina, right?
Yeah, they're at LSU, South Carolina, which that should be a fun game as well, but I certainly think Alabama-Wisconsin is a bigger matchup just based on the brand that Wisconsin has been over the past couple of years. But this is going to be a true test for Bama going up against a pretty good defense in Wisconsin to see what Jalen Milroe is going to look like. You know, we saw him as the year progressed last year get more comfortable, get better. The first week's kind of whatever. They played a nobody. Last week against USF, I don't know if this is like Jalen Milroe's weird kryptonite or something, but that was more of a game than it should have been for the first couple of quarters before the Alabama offense started to pull away.
Well, no, it was a game, period, until, I mean, Alabama scored three touchdowns in 3 minutes at the very end of the game. And by the way, got close to covering, which was painful. I watched the whole thing. But that game was 21-16 with 6 minutes to go in the game. I mean, I did not think Jalen Milroe looked comfortable at all throwing the football. And it, you know, it's a new system. It's Kalen DeBoer. We trust Kalen DeBoer to figure it out. But yeah, USF was not the other thing too. Real quickly, USF ran the football against Alabama.
Yeah.
Not just with the quarterback. What's his name? Brown. Their running back. I forget his name. I think he's number five. He ran the ball really well. I mean, this would be the opportunity. I think Luke Fickell will figure it out at Wisconsin. I do. I think he's that good. I don't know if you believe the same thing. He's got our guy that we love, Phil Longo, as the offensive coordinator. He coached Sam Howell, coached Drake May at Carolina for Mac Brown. I think he coached Drake May. But they haven't figured out the quarterback thing yet. So I don't think they can score enough to be in this game. But because Tyler Van Dyke's not the guy, right?
I mean, no, he's,
didn't
he's
we
not.
See that at Miami enough?
Yeah, he's one of those guys where, like, I know, you know, Bo Nix is maybe an outlier in this, But like when you're going on year four or five in college and you transfer to a new program,
yes,
like it's just
Graham Mertz.
It's
like
not.
We said
it's
a few
not
weeks
it.
Ago.
Now, if you like
DJU,
the running offense for Wisconsin, I mean, Ches Malusi is a back. They got a really good back in Ches Malusi. So if Alabama had issues defending the run last week, that might be something to keep an eye on. Like, this number is massive. I think I would lean Alabama to cover the 16, but, you know, on the road at Wisconsin, like, that's a big
number. The number's massive because they don't think Wisconsin can score.
Right.
And if last week was an indication, ultimately USF only scored 16 points, but they were able to move the football, and they were able to run the football against an Alabama team in Tuscaloosa. The crowd in Madison is going to be sick. It's a 12 noon kick, so there you are at 12 noon. But the other 12 noon game is where you said game day was, and this is interesting because South Carolina was supposed to not be very good this year, right?
Yeah, they had mild expectations at best, and they're 2-0. They had a big win last week
against Kentucky.
Just absolutely obliterated
as a
them.
Dog.
Yeah, and it was after they nearly lost to Old Dominion,
right,
which was stunning. But they got a quarterback in Lenore Sellers, who I'm a big proponent of. It has literally nothing to do with his game. It's just because he wears rec specs, and as somebody that wore rec specs, I support my rec specs brother. So I like South Carolina's quarterback. I don't think they can hang with LSU. I think LSU has a lot of offense. You know, when Nussmeier's playing well, there's a lot of offense there with LSU, but it should be a fun SEC battle.
LSU's a sizable favorite on the road against a very good defensive team. And we talked about this in that first matchup between SC and LSU, the two quarterbacks replacing the last two Heisman Trophy winners, Miller Moss and Garrett Nussmeier. And Nussmeier and Moss were outstanding in that first game. Moss was really good again last week. And Nussmeier, I think, threw five touchdown passes. Maybe more than that. I know it was against Nichols State or whatever. South Carolina, God, I'm just not a big Beamer guy.
They don't have offense. You know, they don't have offense, and they played a team in Kentucky that has even less. Like, Kentucky last week was 6 of 17 passing. That's abysmal. I mean, there is so small of a list of what I would consider to be a good quarterback in college football this year, to the point where it's almost embarrassing. Wisconsin doesn't have one. Kentucky has Brock Vandergriff, who was supposed to be a big guy at Georgia a couple years ago, lost that job to Carson Beck, and Gavin Wimsatt, who's on like his third or fourth school. Like, there's so many guys across college football that are they're doing the transfer thing and they're jumping from place to place and not finding success anywhere. It's kind of embarrassing.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now. I think we saw last week, we saw the guy that is going to be right there as the best quarterback in the country, the Heisman Trophy, perhaps the Heisman Trophy winner, and ultimately maybe the first QB taken in the draft next year, and that's Quinn Ewers.
Yeah.
I think his back-to-back years of performances on the road in Tuscaloosa last year and last week in the Big House is better than anything we've seen from Shedeur Sanders, from Carson Beck, definitely from Gabriel, whether it was last year or so far this year. I mean, that's what I would, with respect to quarterback, that's what I would say. By the way, just tell me real quickly, did Cam Rising get hurt again last week?
I think he did, but I think it was minor. I don't think it was anything major. Okay. The expectation, at least that I have, is that he's playing this week against Utah State. Real quickly, there's two other games that I just want to touch on.
Yes, please.
My favorite Saturday game is Boston College at Missouri.
Love it.
Boston College, really, really good. Missouri has the best wide receiver in college football. It's Luther Burden III. He is awesome. I hope that Brady Cook can get him the football more this week because they have not had a ton of luck passing the ball, but that's going to be a really fun one. I'm actually kind of stunned that Missouri is they're laying the number that they are.
15.5, 16.
15, that's a pretty big number against a team in Boston College. Like, they don't have a ton of offense, but we know how Bill O'Brien works as a college football coach. That's a big number that Missouri's laying.
It very likely will be in the smell test coming up in about 10 minutes. But I have a problem with this game because I have always liked Bill O'Brien. I think he has always gotten more out of less wherever he's coached. BC, there's always a toughness to his teams. They beat Florida State. Now, what does that look like now? It doesn't look great. I mean, they had lost to Georgia Tech already, and then Georgia Tech lost last week at Syracuse. They crushed, Duquesne in week two. And now they go to Missouri. Missouri has not been scored on in their first 2 weeks. Now, it's Murray State and Buffalo. I think Buffalo out of the MAC was their week two opponent. But they haven't been scored on. It's like 50-0 and 35-0, I think, in the first two games. And now they get BC in Columbia. And Missouri's got big aspirations this year.
Yeah.
They have huge aspirations. And they don't have to play Georgia. There are a couple of missing pieces. I think they play Bama this year, and that's it. Correct me if I'm wrong, Denton. I think that's it in terms of the SEC slate.
They have Oklahoma right after. So they got Bama, Oklahoma,
okay, well,
consecutive
weeks. Oklahoma any good?
They're currently ranked 15th.
They barely beat Houston last week.
They don't have a lot of offense. Yeah, Jackson Arnold will get there, I think. He's a young quarterback, but as of right now, they don't have a lot of offense.
No Georgia, no Ole Miss, no LSU. I just pulled up their schedule. They have a game at Bama in late October. And this is an excellent defensive team. By the way, an excellent defensive team last year, which is why when we looked at last year's games with Jaden Daniels, we're like, I mean, he went to Missouri. And they were down in that game. And he actually got banged up in that game. And he still ended up accounting for like 400 yards of offense. And they came back and won that game. I think it was 49-39 at Missouri. But I think that line tells you that, Bill O'Brien's going to do a good job at BC. But there's a mismatch talent-wise on Saturday, potentially. We'll see. What else?
This is my favorite play of the weekend. I'm done betting spreads with Oregon. After last week, I'm not going to do it anymore.
It's too early.
They got us last year too with the Washington thing. Like I've lost so much.
We get Civil
money.
War, right?
We get tomorrow? Civil War. It's Oregon, yeah. Oregon State. My favorite play is the over 49.5 because Oregon has a lot of offense. They just haven't been able to stop anybody this year. And last week was a really good example. Now Boise State's a good team. They have a guy at running back in Gentee that is going to, at least for the first half of the season, be in the early Heisman conversation. We'll see how the season progresses, what that looks like. But Boise had a good amount of offense. They had some success against Oregon. I think Oregon State could have the same. Now Oregon's going to win this one, but that total right now is sitting at 49.5. That's my favorite play, over that total, because Oregon's going to score a lot, but I think Oregon State will have some success in this one.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Oregon and Oregon State are going to continue their series.
Yeah.
The Civil War. But the Apple Cup, Washington State, is continuing as well, right?
I believe, at least for the next couple of years, that is the case. Yeah.
I mean, those are big games. Like, with all of this stuff going on with the conference reshuffling, it's very important for these programs that have moved to these big leagues and have these expanded, conference schedules to keep that rivalry game. You cannot break that tradition. Oregon and Oregon State seem to be continuing it. Washington and Washington State are continuing.
And they're playing it this week, by the way.
Say that again?
The Apple Cup is this week. As well.
Right. It is. When Penn State moved to the Big Ten, things, some of their big rivalries like Pitt, that thing fell apart. West Virginia fell apart. I don't want to say Maryland, although Penn State and Maryland played every year forever. And when they moved to the Big Ten, that stopped. But I think those things are so important. Now, I'm not going to put Maryland and Virginia into that category of, like, this is a rivalry that's got to continue. Maryland doesn't have rivals in football, and they didn't even when they were in the ACC, with the exception, as I said when we were talking about the Maryland-Virginia basketball series continuing, with the exception of West Virginia, which was really Maryland's big football rival. But Maryland plays Virginia tomorrow night down in Charlottesville. They played last year. It was a Friday night game in College Park, and Maryland was a big favorite. UVA jumped out to a 14-0 lead, and then Maryland came back and won the game 42-14. It's weird because the look-ahead line for this game before Maryland lost to Michigan State and Virginia came back to beat Wake Forest. They were down 13. They won a game 31-30 at the very end last week. Maryland was going to be a 9-point favorite in Charlottesville before Maryland lost to Michigan State and Virginia came back to beat Wake Forest. Maryland going into this game now is a 2.5-point favorite. That's crazy. The reason, I think, is twofold. One, Maryland kind of soiled themselves again. I love Maryland football. It means the world to me. That last week was a painful loss because I think on paper they were actually better than Michigan State. And they've had a couple of those losses in recent years. Illinois last year, Northwestern last year. We've gotten used to that. But one of the things that was exposed a little bit was Maryland's pass defense. They gave up against this guy, Childs, who had done nothing in their opener against Florida Atlantic. The dude threw for 380 and 3 touchdowns, including a 77-yarder in the fourth quarter to tie the game at 24-24. Well, they're going against a Virginia offense led by this guy, Calandria, who can really rack up some passing yards. Seems to be, you know, their strength against Maryland's weakness. Although I love Maryland's safety, Glendon Miller. I actually like Maryland's safeties in general. Trader Jr. and Miller are excellent safeties, but they struggled last week. The other thing is just this idea of kind of on the road following a very disappointing loss. And, you know, did Maryland kind of have a big deflation moment last week when it looked like their season could start with several wins in a row leading up to, you know, their second Big Ten game, which would have been like Indiana or Rutgers, I forget, before USC came to town. This is going to be a tough one. If Maryland can go down there and win this game, season kind of back on. But this would be a really tough loss and would derail in a big way Maryland's season here early from what it should have been. That line short. A lot of people playing Maryland in this game. Go Terps. Let's get Roman Hemby going. Let's get Nolan Ray going. You couldn't run the football last week against Michigan State. It would be nice to run the football and make it a little bit easier on Billy Edwards Jr.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who should be able to attack the UVA pass defense, which is giving up like 280 a game, something like that. All right, my smell test next.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northside's and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.